Good day once again, and welcome to the show. My name is Palesa Dau, and you're listening to Live Well right here on Channel Africa, giving you the African perspective. And of course, the motto of the show right here is a healthy mind, a healthy body, and a happy spirit. So I hope that you're having an amazing day and you're taking care of yourself, both your mind and your body, so that you're able to join us today and have a good one with us for the next 40 minutes. Go through to our social media platforms, that is at Channel Africa One on Twitter. Don't forget to hashtag LiveWellAfrica so that you can join in on today's conversation. Today we're going and speaking about a conversation and an illness that a lot of people are not really aware of on our continent of Africa. And not only are we not aware, we might not even be well equipped to deal with and even identify this particular disorder. Today we're speaking about autism. And to help us in today's discussion, we'll be speaking to two great guests of mine. Number one is Dr. David Nossel, who is a general practitioner taking care of both childhood and adult conditions. Dr. Nossel has a special interest in children's development issues, including autism spectrum disorder and ADHD. He has reached out to world leaders in the field of autism for guidance and training and was tutored by leading world authorities. Dr. Nossel has traveled to the USA to participate in the Medical Academy of Pediatric Special Needs World Conference of Autism, meaning he has quite vast knowledge and has made sure that he has acquired a lot of vast knowledge on this particular topic. He also has his own private medical practice in Johannesburg and has developed a stepwise, logical and practical approach to the diagnosis and treatment of these neurodevelopmental disorders. We'll also be speaking from a more personal perspective to Ilana. Oh my goodness. Okay, so this surname sort of gets me a little bit. I am going to ask her to pronounce it for us once again so that we can continue the conversation. However, she is a former admitted and practicing attorney who thereafter, after her eldest son was diagnosed with autism, she abandoned her law career and immersed herself in research to find solutions. In 2009, she hosted the landmark Challenging Children Conference in South Africa, which provided a platform for the presentation of the latest treatments and developments in autism, including ABA. She has then founded the STAR Academy, which provides ABA services to children with autism and related disorders. We're going to continue and find out more of her work, which she has done around South Africa and the African continent. Good day to both of you, and thank you so much for coming to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
Well, you know, I love to start a show with a good brief overview because it's good to speak about a topic, but not, you know, when people might not really understand what it is we're speaking on. So I'm going to start with you, Dr. Nossel, and you can give us just a quick breakdown of what exactly autism is.
That's a very straightforward and obvious question. Mm-hmm. I wish I could give you a very straightforward and obvious answer.
Yeah.
I will do my best. And the reason you'll see shortly why I can't give you a one-liner is because it's complicated.
Yeah.
And that is part of what we have to navigate in with the children that we are looking after and taking care of, and people who have been diagnosed as having autism, or what we call being on the spectrum, because the official name is autism spectrum disorder.
Yes.
And you're asking me what does it mean to be on the spectrum or to have the diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder?
Yeah.
So the reason why I gave that brief introduction is because possibly the most important thing to share with the listeners is that it's a spectrum. Spectrum means that there is a whole range of symptoms and of signs and of manifestations of this condition.
Mm-hmm.
And the underlying issue is it's also difficult to put one's finger on. Suffice to say that it's generally agreed in the medical world that autism describes a condition where a child has a developmental problem. It's a problem in the anticipated and the desired development of the child's abilities. And it manifests in a number of ways. Classically, in the medical manuals, they describe three particular areas of cognitive or of developmental delay. The first area is speech, which refers to, of course, communication. There's a speech concern or a speech issue. Sometimes the child will have no speech or limited speech or delayed speech. That is the first area of sign and of concern. The second area is perhaps most well known to people, and that is the child's ability to socialize, to reach out and to be part of those people, those peers or family or other people around them. And perhaps that's where the name autism comes from. Autism comes from the root auto, meaning self. It's kind of a expression of being involved with the self to the exclusion of what's happening and those around oneself. So it's kind of being isolated socially from those around them. That's the second. And the third one is a behavior, a set of behaviors which the behaviors are non-functional. So they might include things like hand flapping in extreme cases, but in less, it doesn't have to necessarily be that. There sometimes can be other postural issues. Sometimes there's what's called toe walking, which means like walking on tippy toes. Mm-hmm. They can be looking at their hands in a non-functional way. And there's a group of symptoms or movements or behaviors which are not functional, and we refer to them as stimming, which is seeking stimulation and seeking some kind of input through movements and behaviors which are not considered to be functional. And those are the three classical triad which the psychiatrists have in their manual, which describe and are used to determine the diagnosis of autism. So that's a bit of a technical description.
Yeah.
I think it's, and I'd like to hear Ilana. Ilana's very, very knowledgeable, and she's been involved in this field for, Ilana, what's it, 20 years or so. So my own personal feeling, before we listen to from what she has to say from her experience, my own personal feeling is that that's quite a rigid and quite even an artificial way of diagnosing autism. It is useful. Of course, we have to have standards and we have to have criteria. I think they are representational of something which is a little bit more bigger than just those three areas. And even just to add to that, that even the diagnostic manual, which brings this brings these criteria, doesn't require all three to be present. It's sufficient to make the diagnosis of autism when two of the three are present.
Yeah.
So what they are basically, I think, that they're saying it's fluid and it's not so easy to define, but there's definitely, if I can give you my own opinion about it, it's a delay or a developmental issue which is not allowing the child to continue to progress to fulfill the required or desired potential of a child to, one, communicate, two, socialize, and three, to be well enough to function what would be considered in a normal physiological sense.
Yeah. I mean, this must make it quite difficult, especially to identify, you know, for someone. Because, I mean, if this is something that occurs while, you know, when someone is born with autism, children and humans, we are different anyway, and we develop differently either way. So it should be really hard to really question as a parent to say, is there really a problem with this kid, for, you know, especially at a very young age? Or are they just different? Are they maybe just slower in doing other things? Like, you know, for example, other kids crawl before others, and that might not be really a problem because children develop differently. So as a parent, it must be quite hard to sort of figure out what is going on with your child when you don't really understand if this is natural development issue or it could be, you know, the autism spectrum disorder. And before, I mean, you as Dr. Nossel said, you, Ilana, have a lot of knowledge, which is 20 years worth of. However, before you got to 20 years, you started at zero when you had a kid where, you know, which you didn't really grasp and understand what was going on with them. Could you please just explain to me your particular experience when you realized that something might be wrong or something might not be quite right with your eldest son?
Yes, thank you. I think Dr. Nossel gave a very good definition of autism. And in my particular case as a parent, I actually had autism come knocking on my door twice.
Mm.
So two of my children actually presented with the autism symptoms. The first child, who's now actually 18 years old, he's turning 19 soon. When he was developing before the age of two, all of a sudden we started seeing him walk on his toes or flap his hands, instead of playing with his toys appropriately. He would line them up in a line. He became a very picky eater. He wouldn't give us eye contact. If we called his name, he wasn't responding consistently. He lost previously acquired skills. He wasn't using vocal speech anymore to communicate with us. A young developing child really must develop their milestones on time. And I very much appreciate having gone through something like this twice, you know, that parents are very anxious about their children's development. And so we don't want parents to be overly alarmed, but the developmental milestones are definitely there for a reason. And everything I pointed out now are really what we call the red flags to autism in a young developing child. Not making eye contact, not responding to your name, not pointing. Peter Pointer. A prerequisite skill to vocal language is when the child actually points to what they want. So my son started presenting with these behaviors that seemed very strange, like the hand flapping continuously and losing previously acquired skill. And then he started spinning around in a circle. He became very hyperactive. So these are a lot of the red flags to autism that I'm highlighting, and all of a sudden, autism just developed before our eyes. And when, you know, you're first exposed to it, it can be so confusing because there is your physically normal-looking, beautiful baby, and now you start running from doctor to doctor to psychiatrist to psychologist, occupational therapist, speech therapist, and everyone just kind of sends you around, and you're not getting the answers that you need. We are now almost 20 years down the line, so that's why it's so nice to have doctors like Dr. Nossel who can identify the red flags to autism and give that diagnosis, because early intervention is very important. It sets the stage for best outcomes. The sooner a child can be diagnosed, the quicker you know, they're going to get into the right treatments, they're going to get the right educational program, the right medical intervention. And really, today, we're going to talk about hope for autism. We're going to talk about treatment for autism, because autism is a treatable medical condition.
And I mean, speaking about the treatment, I mean, when reading up about this particular, disorder, finding out that a lot of children in the African continent are only diagnosed around age 8, which is a lot later than the counterparts in other parts of the world, like the USA, for example. And it shows quite a big problem in terms of not just diagnosis, but even bringing forth those children to get that diagnosis in order to get that help on time. What is it, Dr. Nossel, that when a parent brings in a child saying, I don't really understand, you know, their development, I don't really understand what's going on, that you look for in that child in order to diagnose them with autism as soon as possible?
So, direct answer to your question are some of the, of course, all medical consultations consist of a good history.
Mm-hmm.
And Ilan has pointed out some of the important things that need to be brought out in history. Some of the things like milestones, of course, are important. And that includes speech milestones, gross motor milestones, and not to speak too much in medical terms, but the child developed from sitting to crawling to walking appropriately, as the child following with the eye contact, is the child googling and gooing and saying the basic sounds, etc. So there's a history, and then there is an examination, and The examination can also be very helpful. Is the child able to be examined at all? Some of the children that come into my rooms, they are so hyperactive that they can't actually be examined. That's a big sign, of course. And then we look for any what might be called comorbidities. We're familiar with that term from the pandemic that's upon us. But comorbidities means that there are some other associated issues very, very common in the spectrum, and that includes gut symptoms. It means the abdomen, bowel problems, digestive problems. So I often see children with bloated tummies and other things like inflammation, signs of inflammation, and then they are investigations. Next stage in a medical consultation is let's do some tests. Although there is no specific marker, in other words, we can't get a test that says, please attend to the lab, please test for autism. There's no particular molecule or any way or image or scan that says, yes, there's autism.
Yeah.
There are signs of a metabolism. Now, metabolism is a word which many of us are familiar with. What it means is the way the body is functioning chemically. The biochemicals, the chemicals of the body in autism are not balanced. They're out of balance. And that is so important for people to know, because that is measurable. That is measurable. I routinely run some tests to measure metabolic functioning of the children. And based on the results, I can work out where the metabolic issues are based. What is holding this child back? And not only can I measure objectively through, let's say, a urine test and some blood tests and some hair tests and a stool test. And what's so fascinating that some listeners may not be aware of, there's a very powerful DNA test which can also be used. And the combination of these tests give an enormous amount of information, not only as to what's holding the child back, but even more importantly, what we can do to bolster the child's metabolic wellness.
Mm.
And what we can do is enhance their wellness. And you know what? My listeners, hear this. They can. It's much better. They can. We use the word, you know, people don't like to hear the word they get cured. We can certainly use the word they recover.
Mm.
Many of them recover. And they do better. They do better because we have actually located the underlying problems in the body, and we address them with the required appropriate treatments. And the children do better.
And I mean, that's beautiful. I would love us to go into the treatments for a bit, you know, speaking about them getting better. But you did mention, you know, it is called autism spectrum disorder, which I assume the spectrum part means severity of, you know, how the person or the child presents themselves. Is it possible to go undiagnosed, especially for those who are on the lower end of the spectrum, or, you know, in simpler words, severity of their autistic behavior, or you know, how they expose themselves, or how it shows itself, it manifests itself in the child?
No question. I think maybe it's worthwhile mentioning the following. That is, it could be that some people will say, what's the difference? What's the difference if we see a child who is what might be called mild? Is mild has autism in a mild condition or a severe condition? If the mindset is, well, there's not much we can do anyway, so then what's the big tragedy of not having made an official diagnosis?
Hmm.
That really is the crux of the issue. When our approach is to detect it early so that we can intervene and we can make a difference and we can give wellness and we can cause recovery. So yesterday's already getting late.
Yeah.
We need to do it today. But if there's no difference because the doctor or the healthcare practitioner says, well, I'm sorry, there's nothing, and you know what, I'll tell you, it could be that a practitioner but actually delay diagnosis and say, come back in 6 months' time because we don't know. And then another 6 month time, Ilana might share some of information about this, because it makes no difference. They have nothing to offer. And so it's really, there is no urgency. There's only delay. It's only procrastination because they feel that it's I think the French is a fait accompli. It's all, there's nothing to be done. And I'm sorry, all we can do perhaps is give things which can calm the child down or can make it easier for the parents to handle the child or whatever it is, which I'm not doing. It also has a place. But our approach is, my gosh, we need to uncover and discover what's going on with this child as any other condition.
Yeah, absolutely.
A child came with any other condition, will we say, well, the condition is, you know, it's still mild. Come back in 6 months when it's more severe and we will see what we can do to treat it then.
Mm.
That's not helpful. We need to detect as quickly and as thoroughly as we can so that we can start with a therapeutic program as soon as possible and get the child as well as possible. Children do better.
Absolutely. Thanks. Ilana, I'm sorry for cutting you off. And I mean, I love the fact that you both speak with so much passion for this, because it does take, it looks like it takes quite a long journey from diagnosis to, you know, trying to assist and help. And for someone like you, Ilana, who has personal experience, but not only that, who then immersed herself in helping other people as well, you know, unlike most parents who discover whether it's a developmental or other issue with their children, you know, they concentrate on that and then forget about the world because everyone is just trying to have their family be all right, their children be all right. You then went in to try and research and assist other families who might be dealing with the same things. After diagnosis, what are the things that you found were so helpful for you in order to not just deal with the issue, but also try and help other people dealing with the same problems?
In my book, Saving My Sons, A Journey with Autism, I write about all the treatments that we followed to rescue our two sons from autism. I agree with you, and I must say I love the passion. And I love how Dr. Nossel speaks with so much conviction, and he's had such good results in treating children with autism. Sadly, there are very few doctors like him in our country and on the African continent that have had the knowledge and training to actually help these children, because, you know, Palesa, children on the autism spectrum are very sick children. They don't feel well. And a lot of the time, like my oldest son, and I talk about this in my book, Saving My Sons, a lot of the time, he wasn't feeling well, and he didn't have a means to tell us. So they have food allergies. They are deficient in certain essential vitamins and minerals. Like Dr. Nossel said, autism is a digestive disorder. It is an autoimmune disorder. It is a metabolic disorder. It is not a psychiatric disorder. So it happened to me as well as a parent. Walk into the doctor's office and first line treatment immediately is going to be psychiatric medication that everyone forgets has side effects and is not treating the root cause of the problem. And so what's so nice about what Dr. Nossel is saying is that we want to go to the root cause of what is causing this in the first place. I think the message today is that there are underlying medical issues that are causing the autism symptoms. And if we can unravel what those items are for every individual child, and if we can treat those, we can start ticking off the autism symptoms. Now, important to understand is that I walked the autism road twice. My oldest son, who's very severely autistic today, and I'll tell you more about him later. But then my youngest son, who had the best outcome, he recovered from autism. Recovery means that he lost his diagnosis. He no longer presents with the criteria for autism that Dr. Nossel was taking us through, that is contained in the Diagnostic and Statistics Manual, which lists the criteria for the diagnosis. Recovery means that he has been assessed by an educational psychologist. He has scored average to above average on his IQ. He is in mainstream school with no facilitation. And he no longer presents with the symptoms of autism. So you asked me, what were the treatments we followed for my children?
Yeah.
One is the right medical intervention protocol. And the other is the right educational program. So with the education, it's very important for parents to be able to access a teaching methodology called Applied Behavior Analysis, ABA. ABA is a teaching methodology, and it is the only evidence-based treatment for children on the spectrum regarded a medical necessity in the United States and other parts of Europe. The African continent are only hearing about it now, and it really produces results. So we can't group these. I never grouped my kids in some setting where there were other children with challenges. At my organization, the Star Academy, we provide individualized education plans based on the principles of ABA to address the child's specific skills deficit. So what does it mean to have autism? Well, it can mean that I can't speak.
Yeah.
I struggle to eat food. I'm not sleeping. I don't understand the world around me. Palesa, imagine not being able to speak for just one day. How would you communicate your needs? You would bite, you would spit, you would kick, you would hit. So that's what my oldest son resorted to. Banging his head on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, he tried to communicate, as so many other children with autism do, through behavior. So what we need to do in an education program is to focus on their skill acquisition to give them an appropriate means to communicate, which can replace inappropriate behaviors like screaming, shouting, spitting, hitting. And you ask me, you know, how did we have time to help other kids? I can tell you, the only reason I started getting help for my own children was when I started helping other families. And because I think we're always looking for that why. Why did it happen to me? This doesn't happen to me. This happens to other people, right? And I think for a long time, especially with my oldest son, we were searching for the why. And the moment our contribution could help other families, other children find their voice, we found our why. And then it was so inspirational and motivating in my oldest son's merit that a child should be able to speak, communicate, go to school. You know, that is just very special.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it really is a special thing to sort of reach out. And, you know, you've also done a lot of work on the African continent as well as in South Africa. However, we all know if you live in the African continent, we will always have one particular problem when it comes to any diagnosis or any treatment for anything. And that is accessibility. And we lack a lot of accessibility in South Africa as well, being one of the best continents best countries in the continent. However, in the rest of Africa as well, there are even greater struggles with accessibility to even people like Dr. Nossel, who are able to diagnose, are able to bring forth the education that they've learned and that they've found. Is there still a big issue with perhaps not knowing where to take your child and maybe not even getting the right diagnosis for your child suffering with, autism spectrum disorder and not even being able to find that help? How do we help those kind of people who live in areas and in places where they don't have the access to receive help?
A very good question. I'm so happy that you're raising this issue. We are so happy to be speaking about this condition because April is World Autism Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've been talking about how do we treat the child with autism? Well, we restore health. That's number one. Now, the second part is also, well, how do we access what we need? How do we access the treatments to restore health? And then also, how do we access the educational intervention that the children need so that they can restore their functionality and they can learn to speak and communicate and do those things that typically developing children can do? Mm. And so, Palesa, it's really not easy. And there is, that's why I'm so happy that you're shining a light on autism today. You're bringing this to the forefront, you know, the people listening today. We need more funding, we need more doctors, we need help. The parents need help because if we look at the diagnosis, one in every 54 in America and the stats in South Africa, although there isn't a board taking statistics, there isn't a board here taking statistics, the stats are looking very much the same. So we have a global crisis and a crisis on the African continent with autism amongst coronavirus and, you know, everything else that we're dealing with. Now, let's just unpack, how do parents access the services that they need? I have been humbled in my years of experience to witness the courage and determination of parents who are not always having what they need to provide their children. Yeah. I have been humbled by their determination and drive in finding what they need and accessing those services. And I think that I've come to the conclusion that if the parent is truly committed and determined, there is always a plan that can be made. So at my organization, Star Academy, we really don't like to turn anyone away. There's always a plan to be made. And for your listeners today, no matter what the parents' personal circumstances are, we have many options for them to choose from where we can empower those parents. Like, let me give you an example.
Yeah.
We work with a number of universities, and we've become the practical placement for being psychology students. Now, as my organization, the Star Academy, we train psychology students to deliver their education programs for children with autism. having become the practical placements for universities, the universities require their students to conduct a certain number of hours at our institution, at our organization, and then the students actually provide their time for free to those parents. We then allocate a case manager, and then that case manager supports the continued management of that program. So that's one way to help parents access the service that sometimes can feel not affordable. There's another way is that very often we help the parents to find a young person in their community. Mm-hmm. And this is fantastic because, you know, especially with coronavirus, so many people have lost their jobs. So
yeah.
And we aid in job creation. So we can find a young person for them in their community, depending on where they're living. We then train that person for them to work with a child. And then we continue to support that program on a monthly basis. We will help the family find a young person in their community. And we will train that person to work with a child. Thereafter, we will continue to support and manage the program. And this has been really wonderful because it's allowed many families to access the service. Having said that, there is a lot of help that's needed in terms of helping parents and supporting parents to access the medical treatments as well as the educational intervention. Now, we also have a program, and I spoke about this in my book, Saving My Sons. We have a lovely program in Tembisa, actually, and the mothers, they inspire me because, you know, for example, Dr. Nasser will tell you that children on the spectrum have nutritional deficiencies, and a lot of the time he'll prescribe a multivitamin. And the moms will say to me, I can't give my child a vitamin every day, but I can do it 3 times a week. And you know what? They see results as well from 3 times a week. So that's why I want parents to know there's always a plan that can be made. Don't feel like I can't get this 100%, so I mustn't. And start the process. Just start the process and it will unfold, because even if you can give that multivitamin 3 times a week instead of maybe daily, you're already going to see incremental improvement.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of hope.
Dr. Nossel, to finish off, we have under 2 minutes. You have traveled the world and you've seen so many other developments taking place on autism spectrum disorder in other parts of the world. However, it might not be the same reflection here on our continent in South Africa and the continent as a whole. What sort of medical developments do we still need to make sure that people with autism and children with autism receive sufficient help on this continent?
So, I suppose it's worthwhile mentioning that although, of course, there's the cutting edge of progress and of new discovery in autism, as there is in every field of medicine, but we don't necessarily need that.
Mm.
Now, we don't necessarily need all that sophistication and all that latest technology.
Mm.
It's really about increasing wellness, increasing health, and it makes a significant difference. So if we can just give you a little bit of, I know the time is very limited, but perhaps even just to read up a little bit about the impact of nutrition, impact of diet, impact of something as important and as simple as Yolanda mentioned, a multivitamin.
Mm.
How many of these children are deficient in basic minerals and vitamins? Vitamin D, we're all getting too familiar with how important that is.
Mm.
So too with children developing. For zinc, if you take a look at this, take a look at your own nails and your child's nails. See if there's a little white marks on your nails. Well, guess what? White marks on a child or an adult's nails indicate zinc deficiency. And if there's a zinc deficiency, there might be other deficiencies, which is so easy to manage. It's not expensive.
Mm.
It's not expensive. And then there's the next stage is also not particularly difficult. It's an anti-inflammatory, which is natural, something like a fish oil, which is available at every pharmacy. And something like a probiotic, which is also becoming very, very much available. And so basically, the good news is that all of us can improve our wellness. And so too, a child whose development is being hindered, they can also benefit from the basics of healthcare, which is to improve basic wellness. From there, and all my patients, I start with that anyway. So if they can't get to me, and I would certainly be very available to anybody who wants to reach out to me, whether it's for advice or any other doctors who want to, I'm open. I'd be honored to advise. I will start off with those basics. It's not the highfalutin, the expensive things which are going to make that much of an impact as the basic principles of wellness and of nutrition and of strengthening and boosting the body's natural metabolic and physiological processes. And you'll be amazed at the difference that makes.
A great way to round off the show there. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much to you, Dr. Nossel and Ilana, for joining us on the show. And, you know, I give you both strength to continue on your journeys, helping both yourselves and others on this journey of autism spectrum disorder. And thank you for being with us on the show and imparting some of this knowledge.
Alyssa, thank you for having us. Autism means game on, not game over. And we really appreciate the opportunity to speak about autism. We want everyone to know that there's absolutely nothing to expect about an autism diagnosis. We need to take action. Thanks for having us today.
And that's all we have for you right here today on Live Well, giving you the African perspective as we speak about autism. Continue the conversation on our social media platforms at Channel Africa One on Twitter. Don't forget to hashtag Live Well Africa so we can have your say on today's topic being autism. Join me again next week right here on Channel Africa and have you a very amazing day. This is Live Well and my name is Balisa Dau. Goodbye.